Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, Fusion Church. All right, Freedom Friday. We can't say it enough. Freedom in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It's been, I have so much to share, and especially in this word. If those, you know, of you who haven't heard, you know, my wife received a kidney last Friday and came out of nowhere. So I did the word in the morning. I did the last sayings of Jesus Christ in the morning. And by 11:30 that morning, we received a phone call. And, you know, and they said, you got to come, you know, and we went and, she received it. She's recovering. You know, everything seems to be right on target, right on the path. It's a lot. I'm her caregiver, so I'm the one that monitors all the medications and all the stuff that goes along with it. So, you know, your continual prayers are appreciated. I appreciate it. But, you know, we have seen the hand of God moving. You know, if you hold on to the end, you know, you're going to have your breakthrough. You know, we can't stop. They told us, I know I'm sharing too much first thing in the morning, but they told us 5 to 7 years. Well, guess what? We serve a God that's more powerful. And the beautiful thing about all this is that, you know, it was Good Friday, you know, and it was the death of Christ. And my wife received life, and somebody had to die to receive that life. You know, so when you think about that, you think about that one life has passed on and there is sorrow, and then another life continues to live, you know, and that's pretty much what Christ did for every single one of us. You know, and our hearts go out to that family, and we are grateful for the kidney, you know, and now we are in a new journey of recovery, a new journey of doing things differently in our home. But God is in control, and God is helping us all. So again, thank you for your prayers. You know, they have been felt. And we're going to continue to keep you guys up to date what's going on. I have to take care of her, so I'm not going to be around as often right now, at least for the first few weeks here. But I'm doing the best I can. And I couldn't. And some told me, hey, are you going to take a day off? Are you not going to do the Friday word? I said, nah, I got to speak to my people. I got to speak to my family on Freedom Friday, and I'm here. And guess what? All week long, I've just been running back and forth from here to there. And then I finally was able to sit down and spend some time with the Lord in the Word. And I want to just share a few little things over this particular chapter today in the book of Acts chapter 1. But again, I know I've been talking a lot already, but let me start with a word of prayer right now. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your compassion, your love, Father. I thank you, Father, because through you, all things are possible, Father. You make a way where there is no way, Father. And I just thank you, Father, because you show up at the right time, Father God. You're never late. You're never late. So thank you for waking us up this morning. And thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts. Let it be you and not me, Father. I thank you and I praise you and I give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Stretch if you need to this morning. And let's get into this word, Acts chapter 1, and let us begin. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day on which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles, and he had that he has chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them. During 40 days, he spoke of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. For, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized by the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, Lord, will you at this point restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or season which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." 9. Now, when he has spoken these things while they washed, he was taken up in a cloud, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards the heavens, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up in the heavens? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, and near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of his disciples, although the number and the names were about 120, and said, "Men and brethren, this scripture has had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judah, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus, for he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he bust open in the midst of his internals, crushed out, and he became known to those in the dwelling in Jerusalem, that the field in their own language, Kedama, which it means the field of blood. So they were talking right here about Judith and how he hanged himself and he died in the field that he bought with the pieces of gold that he received. For it is written in the book of Pilmos, "Let his dwelling place be disordered, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office." Therefore, these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they proposed to Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias, And they prayed and said, O Lord, who knows the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in the ministry and the apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go into his own place. And they cast lots, and the lots fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Amen and amen. All right. It's a lot of different things going on in this chapter. I'm going to just touch on a couple of them. You know, the book of Acts, you know, the doesn't say who actually wrote it, but it is believed that it was Luke, the physician. You know, the purpose of this particular book is to emphasize the work of God through the Holy Spirit. Emphasize the work of God through the Holy Spirit. And it starts off in a simple manner. It says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. You know, and when you look at this, and it talks about Theophilus, you know, it also in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 3, it mentions him. It says, it seems good also to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. So this particular Theophilus was spoken about in Luke, and also now in Acts, it brings his name up again. So it is believed it's the same person. So it is believed that Luke was the one that wrote the book of Acts. The name Theophilus means lover of God. So this is an individual that loved the Lord. You know, it is believed that he represents the Christians, that he was there. And that being that he was with Luke was taking the opportunity to share with him, something that we all need to be doing, you know. And it goes into verse 2. It says, until the day which he was taken up, Jesus, after he, through the Holy Spirit, has given commands of the apostles that he has chosen. So Jesus was spending time with the apostles that he has chosen, to whom, in verse 3, to whom he also presented himself alive after suffering in many infallible proofs, you know, that he dwelt with them for 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he spent 40 days. Many saw him. Yeah, he was risen, and he spent this time, you know, and he made a promise to them. And it was the promise of the Father, you know, that they will remain together. And in verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that not to depart from Jerusalem, but for wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. You know, this is also found in the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 16. Jesus also referring to this, you know, and it goes into a little bit deeper. It goes into, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized by the Holy Spirit many days from now. You know, so he was talking. Jesus spent this time with his disciples. He spent teaching them. You know, he spent sharing with them. You know, that the while things were going to happen. You know, but he also told them to wait. You know, so in order for them to be able to present anything, or any one of us, you know, there needs to be somebody who authorizes this. We need to make sure who is giving permission to do this. So in other words, you know, you're going to go on a mission. You got to share what I'm going to give you, you know, but then it comes to who authorizes this, you know. And that reminded me back in the days when I had a little bit of more hair and I was in the military. You know, and I was in the military. I, you know, went off in many missions with the military, and every one of these missions, I was required to have a set of orders, a set of authorizations, you know, that would allow me to enter these particular countries and nations that I was going into, you know, and these were documents that that I had to keep on my person just in case I got stopped by a different authority, different government. That was the proof that I needed to be there. So also receiving the Holy Spirit, you know, to wait for the Holy Spirit, that was going to be the authorization. That was going to be the empowerment that they were going to have. So my documentation, the military, that allowed me to go in to these nations and do these things, you know, so that my paperwork opened up doors for me. They also, my orders, you know, of authorization, they had a seal on them. And that was the seal, you know, that they put on these things that made it authentic. You know, so that was my proof of going in. Well, you know what? When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we are sealed. We receive a seal of who we are, of who we are. So Jesus, again, you know, he told them to wait for the promise of the Father, which is found in verse 4. In Luke 24:49, it says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. For tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Power from on high. So it's telling us to wait upon this, to wait upon this particular promise. You know, so when Jesus is sharing with them, he's giving them all this teaching about the kingdom, you know, all this talk, you know, about the power, probably got into the disciples' head. So they asked the question. They started to ask the question, you know, about when is this going to happen? When will the kingdom, you know, are we going to, your kingdom, you know, if it's going to come, is Israel going to be restored? In verse 6, it says, "Therefore, when they have come together, they ask him, saying, Lord, would you at this point restore the kingdom of Israel? Will you restore the king?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority." So Jesus speaking to them, and they're looking at it a different viewpoint. It's not that time. So Jesus deflected the disciples' misguided questions and presented his command that they were to be his witnesses near and far. They were supposed to be his witnesses near and far. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And amen. So here we see that they need this authorization. They need this empowerment. They need to be covered. So before we go do anything, you know, we need to spend time with the Lord. We need to spend time in prayer. Before you go on a mission trip, before you go on a mission field out there to do whatever task that you feel God is calling you, you need to spend time with the Lord. That way God can speak to you. God will equip you. God can fill you so that you be ready. And Jesus also, you know, making a comparison to John's baptism. John's baptism was in water, so you were submerged in it. Well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be covered by him. You're going to be covered. You're going to be totally surrounded by the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're gonna you cover you. I mean, and that means you're protected. So when you have the Holy Spirit, you know, you're gonna be protected, and he will show you and give you what you need to succeed. He will show you and teach you. Jesus says, "I go, but I do not leave you as orphans, but I send you another like me," which is the Holy Spirit. So here it goes into a little bit deeper, and it goes in verse 8. It says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So the Holy Spirit is going to be upon you. It's going to be in you. the Holy Spirit. You know, when you approach somebody, when you are in deep prayer, when you are seeking God, there's an anointing that's going to come out of you. I've been around people that have are leaders that the Lord uses in a mighty and powerful way. And when I have been around them, I could just feel the, I call it an aura, call it whatever, but it was like a presence. It was like a presence that came out of this individual. It is part of the anointing. It is a presence of God. I remember one time I was doing a study in a church that I was in, and I was just talking about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is transferable, you know, by the presence of God, you know. So I call a young man forward, and I just say, I just want to give you a little bit of what I have. And when soon as I touched him, he felt the presence of God. He felt the anointing of God. And it wasn't not that because I did anything. I'm just Robert Hernandez. But because God's presence wants to, it wants to be known by those who are around him. That presence makes the difference. The anointing makes the difference. And that's what we all have. You know, we are all the same, and we have the same presence. When we receive the Lord, when we receive the Holy Spirit, you know, he consumes us. He dwells in us, and he speaks to us, and he shows us the way. He prepares us to go forward. He prepares us to be able to share, the word of God. You know, and going back, I just remember this, going back to the military, I remember one time that we were sent to the country of Panama, and we were there for a couple of weeks, and we made relationships with a couple of the people that lived there. And one of them was a pastor. And so when they went, we were going to go there again, you know, of course I had an opportunity to go, and they said, you got to come with us. You got to meet this pastor. So we went over there and we met this pastor. And we took with us certain equipment that we need, clothing and Bibles and things like that. And we were there, we were able to minister on a military mission. Don't tell nobody, but on a military mission, we were actually doing evangelism. We were actually going out there and speaking to them. And they asked the pastor out there, being that I was bilingual, asked me, hey, can you bring a word of encouragement to the people? I say, oh, bro. You know what? I learned a long time ago, be ready in season and out of season. You always got to be prepared. You always got to have something written down. And in the back of my head somewhere, I got a file cabinet back there with a whole bunch of different words. And so I was able to greet the people. I was able to minister to them twice. I was able to do that on a mission trip of God equipped, but it was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't because I was somebody special. It was because I became available. And if we become available, God will use you. God will touch you. You know, in this journey that me and my wife are in, I've been able to minister to a whole bunch of hurting people, a whole bunch of sick people, you know, with living difficult circumstances. But I was able to just go to them and say, hey, let me pray with you. I don't know how many times I went to the center and I said, hey, can I just pray with you right now? You know, and I was able to minister and pray with you, you know, and they would show the gratitude. And there was a certain individual that he always said, I like being around you. Well, it's not being around me. It's being around the presence of the Lord that's in me. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is that anointing that flows when we open up our mouth. Scripture says, you know, you will open up your mouth and I will fill it. You know, I will help you. I will teach you. I will guide you. I will give you what you need. Sometimes we think about, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it? You know, but then if you just make yourself available, say, Lord, I'm here. I don't know anything. I don't understand anything, but Lord, I need to share something with them. You know what? When you take that step of faith, when you take a leap of faith, God will never fail you, but he will give you exactly what you need at that particular moment, what to say. And he will put it in your heart and you will just say it you know, and that person in that situation, you're going to speak life into it. So again, you know, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He empowers you. He empowers you. And it's so much more deeper. I'm just covering the little surface of it because we don't have that time to go more in depth into it. But the presence of the Holy Spirit will give you exactly when you what you need and when you need it. And even sometimes when you feel that, oh my God, I don't feel God's presence. I don't know what's going to happen. I haven't spent my time quality with the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter. He says, once we open up our mouths and we declare and we say, Lord, I need you. He is already there. He is already there. So I might be speaking to somebody this morning that you may think that you're far away from the Lord because things have happened, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And the Lord says, I am here. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. His arms are always extended to us. His arms are always reached out to us. And he says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will direct you. Look how beautiful it is that Peter denied the Lord three times. Peter denied the Lord three times. I never knew him. No, I wasn't one of them. You know, when he was accused, you are a follower of Jesus. And he was scared. He was scared. But guess, look at the difference between him being scared and him being empowered by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, verses, verse 14, you know, the people were gathering around, you know, I know this is going a little bit further, but the people were already gathering around. They were saying, what's going on? The people were receiving the Holy Spirit. They were speaking in other tongues and all things were going on. And Peter stood up, you know, because they were saying, oh, these people are drunk. These people that what are they talking about? What presence? But they were under the presence. I don't know about you, but the presence of the Holy Ghost can knock you out. I'm just telling you that right now. I've been hit left and right many times, and I have been kissing rock many times. And guess what? Nobody pushed me down. No, and I didn't fake it either. I'm not one of them. I didn't fake anything, but I have even challenged the Lord. Lord, if this is you, you're going to bring me down. And guess what? I've been down. I've been down. I've been drunk. I've been out of it. Why? Because the presence of God is that strong. But it says in second book Acts chapter 2, verse 14, that Peter seeing that the people were talking about all of them receiving the Holy Spirit and they were accusing them of being drunk. He steps up, Peter standing up with the 11, raise his voice. This is the same guy that denied Jesus. Raised his voice and said to them, men of Judah, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, listen to this. So he was causing attention to come his way now. Let it be known to you and heed my words. Listen to my words. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. When you are indwelled with the presence of God, God will give you what to say. God will tell you what to do. You know, so again, God's presence. Presence of the Holy Spirit is real. Presence of the Holy Spirit is real. You know, and you don't need to be in church to feel them. You can just say, Lord, I need you right now. Holy Ghost, fill me right now. Fill my void. Strengthen me. And he's present. He's present with me right now, hallelujah, as he's present with you. He's touching me right now, and I can feel his presence. He's touching you right there, because he says that he is with you, because he loves you. And we have been given this Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us, to direct us, to teach us, you know, and to show us a lot of different things, you know. And if we get deep with the Lord and we decide that we want to study God's word even more, there's more revelation that's going to come your way. You know, we are only limited by what we limit ourselves, because our God is unlimited. Our God is unlimited. And our God wants to, he wants you to be an overflow. Come on. He wants you to be an overflow. He wants you that is coming out of you. That way, when you go and you go speak to somebody, they will receive you. They will receive the words of love that you're going to give them, and they'll be touched, and they'll be touched. Sometimes all you need is just to show up, and your presence alone will do the speaking. Your presence alone. I don't know how many times I've been around people and they say, hey, can I talk to you? I say, oh, yeah, okay, come on, let's talk. And they start talking and they start talking and they start talking. And I'm only there going, mm-hmm. I hear you. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. And they finish talking. And it's, man, it was so wonderful to talk to you. It was so wonderful to share with you. I didn't say two words. But my presence alone made the difference. They answered their own questions. They knew already what they needed. And Holy Spirit did the rest. Holy Spirit did the rest. That's why you gotta make yourselves available. You make yourselves available and you say, Lord, you know, the Lord said, who would I send? You know, send me, Lord. Send me, Lord. You know, so today, you know, as we come to a close, the Holy Spirit is real. Holy Spirit is power. The Holy Spirit is anointing. The Holy Spirit is already in you. Don't question whether you have the Holy Spirit. You receive Jesus Christ. You receive his presence. He's already there with you. All you need to do is open up your mouth and he will fill it. He will speak through you. He will help you. He will encourage you. That's what has kept me going all my years that I have been around. That's what keeps me going through all the valleys that I have to walk through and me and my wife have gone through, you know. But yet again, God always shows up. God always shows up. When you least expect it, when you least thought, that's when he's going to show up. So we need to continue to give him the praise, my brothers and sisters. Continue to seek his face. I'm speaking to you right now. God is a miracle working God. God is a miracle working God. When we received this word about this kidney, you know, and the words that came to my wife was from death to life, was from death to life. That word was confirmed by somebody else that day. They were just talking and that word came out, from death to life. When we heard Pastor Brendan this week, he mentions from death to life. When you saw the testimony of this individual, you know, again, from death to life. So the Lord has been speaking those words, you know. So we have to be ready to receive those things that God has given us. You know, God is going to, it's not just about me. It's not just about my wife. It's about the kingdom of God. And God is a miracle working God. And he's working the miracles in our lives. And he's going to be working the miracles in your life. So keep your focus. It's not the time to slow down. It is the time for advancement. This is, oh man, that's a word for somebody. It is the time for advancement. The time to play church has to stop. We can't play church anymore. We need to go there with intention, the intention to worship, the intention to praise him, the intention to get closer to him, the intention to speak the word of truth out, to speak life into the situation, to move under the anointing of God. That is what we need to do. So I just challenge you. You know, I want to stir that pot up really, really good this morning. Get stirred up in the presence of God and share the good news that God has given you. Again, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for always being there. Thank you for always encouraging me, because I know you guys, you know who you are. You're always encouraging me, you know, and the same way I want to encourage you. You know, I'm not there yet. I'm still work in progress. I'm still work in progress. But the little that God has given me, I need to give it out. I need to share. And that's why I'm here this morning, just to encourage you, my brothers and sisters. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. God is on the move. I'm expecting miracles upon miracles upon miracles because we serve a powerful God. And we got to remember that the same promises that the old church received is the same promises that we have today. We can have deliverance. We could have healing. We could have restoration. We have all that. We just got to make sure that we are speaking it out. Speak life over yourself. Speak life over your marriage. Speak life over your kids. Surrender them to the Lord. Speak life over the situation. You might not be able to do anything in that circumstance that you were in, but my God can do all things. They told us 5 to 7 years, 5 to 7 years would be the waiting time. And look what God did. Look what God did. Months. Hallelujah. Months. What man said, God said, I can do it better. I can do it better. And he show up and show off. That's what he did. You know, so my brothers and sisters, be encouraged. Be encouraged. You do not wait. You're not wasting your time. You're worshiping the living God, and he has control, and he's doing it, and he's moving it out. You know, it's just the timing. But in the timing, that's part of the journey. I told my wife, we're in a different journey now. You know, we got to take all this medication. We got to do all this testing week after week after week. We're going to be going out and all that. But, you know, we're doing it, and she's getting stronger. And she's going to get better. So we cannot give up. We got to press on, my brothers and sisters, because the best is yet to come. So I'm expecting your miracle. I'm expecting your testify of what God has done, about God has done. Because he's still in the miracle working. He's still into producing miracles. So come on now. Yeah, I got a little emotional this morning. I got my eyes are all wet again, you know. But that's okay. That's okay. Because I'm speaking about my Lord. I give him the praise. I give him the glory. And I give him the honor. All right, my brothers and sisters, let's pray. My time is up. Oh, yeah, 5 minutes over. Oh, let's pray. Father, we just praise you. We just thank you, thank you, thank you for your goodness, oh Lord God, and your mercy. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for making a way where there is no way, Father. Thank you, Father God, because your promises are yes and amen, Father God, and your word is still remains the same. Your word never changes, but your word will produce life, Father. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you for blessing us this morning. I pray for my brothers and my sisters, Father, that you would just meet them where they're at. Bless them, keep them, encourage them, heal them, restore them, Father God. Whatever is lacking, Father God, I pray that they will find a way, that you will open up those doors for them, Father God. I thank you for what you're going to continue to do, oh Lord God. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, and we give you the honor. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen, amen. All right, keep your focus, keep your focus. The best is yet to come. If you don't see me around too often, it's because I'm doing my husbandly duty and taking care of home base. But you know, we need to have a few months of total isolation because the healing process, the immune system is down. And all that kind of stuff that we need to, you know, we got to keep an eye on. But you know what? Hey, God is on the move, my brothers and sisters, and we're going to see each other soon. So keep your focus again. I love you. You know who you are. Come on now. You know who you are. Receive it in the name of Jesus, and we'll talk soon. Have a blessed, blessed week. Oh, baptism this weekend. Come on now. Baptism, and let's go to church and see some more miracles taking place. All right, love you. God bless. Bye-bye.